To the Stars and Beyond with Rosie on the House. I like finding reasons to get outside. I really like to find reasons to get outside with my children and my grandchildren. We've been geocachers for a long time. We've been bird watching and bird watchers for a long time. We love to hike. But don't stop taking your kids and grandkids outside once the sun falls below the horizon, because you're missing a huge opportunity to explore a whole new dimension. Let's welcome Dr. Sky to the show. Appreciate you taking time to join us today, Dr. Sky.
And good morning, Rosie. Good to be in the house on Rosie on the House. Thank you.
We've kind of walked into this topic by covering the subject of lighting in, about, and around your house all month long. And about mid-month, someone said, well, when you're talking about outside lighting, you better address the dark sky outside lighting and the responsibility we all have to protect our dark sky.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so... What have you been up to? I know y'all do some night sky watching at, I just went blank.
Oh, over at the Dolly Steamboat, we have places all over Arizona that we're doing this, Rosie. And, you know, just to mention here, it's a nice opportunity to kind of say hi to everybody out there and catch up, because what we try to do, our whole Dr. Sky company, is try to offer some positivity in these rather depressing COVID times. And I know you've probably covered it, but I'll say it proudly on your show, as I do on my own here on KTAR. You know, what better way to get out of the doldrums than to take your family and spend the time to look at our cherished skies that we have here? And obviously, Rosie, I'm not going to go into all the details. I think that's from your side and your previous guests on how to prevent the glare, which causes the sky glow, which obviously many locations in Arizona have been declared by the International Dark Sky Association to be these very dark sky places, whether they be parks, reserves, or communities. But, Rosie, I've been busy and obviously doing so many things. But, again, not just to go back to our show here on KTAR. Obviously, this is what people tell us they like so much. So for 10 years, we've been providing what to see in the nighttime.
Yes.
Sky. And, Rosie,
yes.
I'll jump right into it because I know the limited time that we have. Right now, folks, and, Rosie, this is so amazing. Right now, if you look into the eastern part of the sky, just a little after 7:30, you'll see this orange ball of light. It's the planet Mars, sometimes referred to by many as the god of war. But regardless of how you look at it, throughout history, so many people have looked to Mars. And look at all the spacecraft that are headed there, America's Perseverance, with the first helicopter-type little robotic craft, this little drone, Ingenuity, it's headed there. We'll get there in February. But, Rosie, we're looking at Mars, some 38 million miles away, as it closes in on the Earth on October the 6th. So if you have a small telescope, just imagine this. Even in binoculars, though, you won't get to see the disk of Mars. But in moderate-sized telescopes, we've been showing people, and people can do this, and maybe some of the listeners out there do have the equipment, and they're already doing it. What are they seeing? They're seeing the shrinking southern polar cap on Mars. They're seeing so many of the so-called land features, potential dust storms that are brewing up, and some of the giant volcanoes. You can actually see the cloud tops over these volcanoes in a rather large, sophisticated telescope. But the important part, Rosie, is Mars is the center stage. It comes closest to us on October 6th. It rises in opposition on the 13th. And it's doing something rather funky in the sky as far as planets do. We know that the astrology community is tied closely to the astronomy community, at least sometimes. But right now, folks, Mars is going through its retrograde time. And, Rosie, think of all the craziness that's going on in the world, and people always talk about retrograde. So something's going on there if you're into the astrology side. That started on September the 9th, and it ends by November the 14th. But if you could jump on a light beam with me, Rosie, and the listeners, we could get to Mars in about 3 minutes and 30 seconds. But I'll take the beautiful view with the naked eye and share that because it's something that's going to get better. And we'll be doing a lot of things around the valley and the state, not only with that, but so many of the other things. But it's really one of the most highlighted objects in event. Don't forget, we come up on October 1st with the beautiful full harvest moon, and then that really strange and funky moon on Halloween night, Rosie. We get the second full moon.
Oh, we do?
Oh, yeah. We get to see a... Since 1944, I've checked this. We have not had a full moon, meaning 100% full, on Halloween night since 1944, and it probably won't happen again since 2035.
And I already know where I'm going to be Halloween night. I'm going to be camping with all my grandsons out in the middle of the desert just south of Payson. So I'll have the telescope. Now, your dinner cruises at Canyon Lake are on the Dolly Steamboat. Now, I'm on the website right now. It looks like tonight's event is sold out. When's the next one?
Rosie, the next big one, we're calling it the Night of Mars with our Cruise of the Cosmos. Saturday, mark it down, folks. Saturday, October the 24th. We sail dockside at 5 p.m. And obviously, this will be a great night here because I need not remind you and the listeners, the month of October, isn't that most amazing? Especially at the end, it's like, bye-bye monsoon and welcome the beautiful skies. So we'll be doing that. They can call 480-827-9144. That's 480-827-9144 or just dollysteamboat.com. A great way to get involved with the beauty of Arizona skies if you've been talking so eloquently with your guests and topics.
And you do night viewing at Lost Dutchman State Park. Now, we had that area kind of under a fire hazard for a little while the last couple of months. How'd y'all survive all that?
Well, Rosie, to be honest with you and listeners, we haven't done anything really there, not just because of the COVID, but we're looking to team up again as we move into 2021, and I'm sure that'll be another landmark on there because people tell us that they enjoyed so much because with all the good things in Arizona, what we're trying to do, Rosie, is show you how to use equipment, how to step outside of doors, go and enjoy the nighttime sky. You don't really have to always travel far. There's so many wonderful places, as your eloquent guests have talked about here in the previous segments, here in Arizona and the rich history of astronomy here. But I mention this in passing because I'm so proud of the fact that during my college days, again, Clyde Tombaugh, the discoverer of the then planet Pluto, now the dwarf, got to know him and his family so well, Rosie. And boy, I'll tell you, that was not only a shot in the pants to continue to study this very good subject, but what an amazing story that I'm sure will be told once again by the good folks at the Lowell Observatory, that sacred and hallowed ground that, of course, Percival Lowell, the director, founded way back when, and the great story of Dr. Tombaugh. But they're right. You know, Dr. Hall was saying it, and I heard it very clearly. America's planet, obviously, the planet Pluto or the dwarf planet back on February 18th, 1930.
Well, in talking to the Arizona homeowners, whose attention you now have, what kind of equipment could a family purchase and have a reasonably good astronomical experience in their backyard?
Best question I've had yet, Rosie. And to solve that problem, what we'll be doing in 2021, we will be a source for equipment like this. But to answer your question directly, with limited budgets right now, this is my personal Dr. Sky opinion. These small, simple-to-use Dobsonian, just remember the term Dobsonian, in namesake of the astronomer who did this on sidewalks in San Francisco, John Dobson, the Dobsonian design, is just the basic telescope. It looks like something, if you remember back during the days when kids built the soapbox derby cars, you know, out of little wood crates. These are functional telescopes. They're reflectors. Just remember Dobsonian. If you get a 6-inch or even an 8-inch, they don't have all the computer technology behind it. And why am I? I'm not negative on that. It's just that what's more frustrating to me, and I've done surveys on this, and we do this all the time, for the very beginner who has maybe a pair of binoculars and wants to move forward, these little Dobsonians are just great. They're a little on the large side. You know, you can take them apart and just have somebody help you carry the base because it's just wood. But it's simple. And, Rosie, you can actually see objects. That's the whole point. Find them and see them. And the old-school way of finding objects was to learn the nighttime sky. So obviously, if they go to our KTAR.com site, they go to the Dr. Sky blog site, you get a free star chart that you can download right there, and one that you could use if you have whether a pair of binoculars or a Dobsonian telescope. But that's my answer. They're interesting. They're affordable. And then consider moving on to the more sophisticated items, because if you want to do photography and you want the telescope to find things with the computer, that's certainly an offering. But how about that, Rosie?
What would a family spend for one of these Dobsonian telescopes?
Between $300 and $500,
okay,
to be straight up. And I think in today's time, maybe that's a high budget for some families. Of course, we respect that times are tough now. But again, Rosie, this is something that I've been asked so many times in about 40 years of doing this with equipment of all different types, upwards of the monster telescopes. And if you really want to go onto the steroid end of the equation, They make these in 16-inch sizes and bigger. And actually, a person can actually have a rather large telescope that you can transport and take it apart and actually put it into a small little SUV or a small vehicle. And those, of course, would run into a few thousand dollars. But it's all a matter of what people can afford. But the answer that I give you is one from the ease, the practical, the practicality. And that's a good way to go.
When my father-in-law moved north of Carefree, we bought him an overly complicated telescope that was computer-driven and all of that. Well, I got it back. he folded it up, played with it for a couple nights, says, I appreciate it, but you figure it out. And we really enjoy it. And I will have it with me that night with all my grandsons out on Halloween night. And so we'll be able to really focus in on that big full moon, Halloween night.
Well, that's amazing, Rosie. And I say this to your listeners and all the listeners of KTAR. If you have a question, send me the email. It's just Dr. Sky Show, DRSKY Show, at gmail.com. More than happy to help people as they navigate through the heavens. And I like to describe this whole experience here always by saying, always remember to, you know, keep your eyes to the skies. And certainly I'm continuing on to be your navigator on this, highway to the heavens, a beautiful journey here in Arizona with your great listeners and the great radio station that we both share shows on here on KTAR.
Opening the segment, talking about Mars, only 38 million miles away. For you astronomers, that's like a stone's throw.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very close. Don't miss it because you won't have this close again, Rosie, with Mars for quite a while, so it's an opportunity to share that, and we'll be doing that. You'll be hearing more about us in the valley and the state as we take our 42-foot RV, the Skyship, and roll out into places as we get rid of this COVID and go back to positivity and return to our opportunity of sharing this beauty of the nighttime sky.
And what's the Arizona state. And what's the speed of light?
Speed of light, 186,282 miles per second, or if you want to put it in relativistic terms, some 670 million miles an hour.
And if we boarded a rocket ship capable of traveling the speed of light, how far would it get? How long would it take to get from one end of the known universe to the other?
Tough question to answer, depending on who you ask. But you ask me, if the universe is allegedly 13.5 billion light years as far as dimension, that would be one answer. But it's probably way larger than that, Rosie. We're talking about maybe 60 or 70 billion light years. So figure how many years it is by the speed of light. That would be something that we would have to reclone ourselves so many times. But the real question, Rosie, would be, how could we all get along in a small spaceship the size of maybe a little bigger than a school bus? That's the real problem. And the journey to Mars, Rosie, that's a 9-month journey one way. So you better like your person sitting next to you for the long haul to Mars. Amazing. Think about that one.
It is amazing. Traveling at that speed, it's going to take you 60 billion years to get from one end of the known. And I'm saying known universe. I don't think we've even reached the edges of what's really out there.
And, Rosie, in the meantime, I think the local problem, and I think you would agree, is simply this. Why can't we all just learn to get along? There you go.
Dr. Sky, you're always such a joy to have on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Folks, I can't encourage you enough. We took an entire crew. We filled the Dolly Steamboat with Rosie on the House listeners several years ago. How would they book the next available night tour on the Dolly Steamboat on Canyon Lake with Dr. Sky and all of his laser flashlights?
All you have to do, folks, is go to dollysteamboat.com, request the Dr. Sky dinner cruise. That's Saturday, October the 24th, leaving at 5 p.m., or simply call them, 480-827-9144. And it's always a privilege and honor, Rosie, and we're growing in our show. Not to be bragging, but we just had Captain James T. Kirk, William Shatner, join us. And he, of course, he just loves the heck out of this stuff, you know. He's got a brand new album. He's going into his jazz music now. It actually sounded pretty good on his album.
what a ride.
Now, for an 89-year-old.
Real quick, we've got a text message that wants to know, what's your favorite astronomy phone app for learning? You've got to have one.
Yeah, there is one. I love one called The Planets. Just go to that one, which is a really simple one. It gives you a basic nighttime sky, and it gives you the three-dimensional view of the universe. So just go to The Planets. You'll see it, of course, up there, wherever good apps are found at all these app stores.